Jesus clearly indicates that the beginning of wisdom in working God's economy to the fullest advantage is learning His rules and following them diligently. This begins when we acknowledge true trust in God, expressed in obedience to the Malachi chapter 3 command to give the Lord what belongs to Him first, the tithe.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Well, hello there, everyone. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you once again to Your Place of Grace. Thank you for tuning in and listening to our podcast this week. I pray that what we say here is a great blessing to you and that you'll share this podcast with your friends and family. We're gaining more and more downloads every week, and we're getting positive testimonies from people. And I pray that what we say here today will bless you greatly. Today we're going to talk about God's economy versus man's. The world economic system, by all measures and predictors, is moving steadily toward its own collapse. I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but this is found in the Bible. And because it is heading toward collapse, this need not be society's destiny in the short term. Though, as I said, the book of Revelation seems to indicate that ultimately this will take place when Jesus comes again. Now, we want to talk about the example of Abram, or Abraham, the father of the faith. We need to function within God's economy, functioning within the kingdom of God. In giving herself to the Word of God completely, the Church of Jesus Christ becomes rooted in eternity, even while learning to live effectively in this temporal world. Moreover, in standing in faithfulness and practicing God's ways for handling our finances individually and corporately, we, the Church, can impact the surrounding society's economic health. And we should be. Learning to function within the kingdom design in finances is enormously important for our lives, our communities, and our world. Let's look at Abram's example. In Genesis 14, Abraham, later known as Abram provides a premier example as father of the faith for all believers. I'm talking modern-day believers. Abram served as a model and pioneer by setting a clear and practical pace for all who walk with God. And in Genesis 14, this passage describes God's revelation of himself to Abram as, and I quote, possessor of heaven and earth. And Abram's confession of his utter dependence upon God for all things. Abram's response to Melchizedek, the priest, moves Abram out of the world system with its mentality about financial management. In the presence of the bread and wine, those are New Testament symbols of the covenant, Abram gives tithes and offerings to Melchizedek, the king of Salem. The passage reveals how to follow Abram's example and bring all our resources under God's dominion, thus realizing God's blessing and abundance. There are three convictions that we need to touch on here. In Genesis 14, our basic posture towards God's provision is established. In Luke 16, verses 1 through 13, Jesus adds complementary instruction about three very important convictions. Jesus said, "Don't let money become your enemy." You realize Jesus talked about money a lot, a lot in the Gospels. He said, "Don't let money become your enemy." So Jesus here explains a shocking concept in this New Testament parable. The children of light are less shrewd than the children of this world in handling money. That's found in verse 8. The parable thus teaches that the unexpected shock of the rich man's commendation of the dishonest manager is a tool by which Jesus reveals that there are two economic systems available to man. There's God, and then there's human. And that as God's children, we should understand and maximize our operation of God's economy to the fullest, and thus realize maximum effectiveness in our stewardship roles. Thus, the steward's reduction of the rich man's bills to debtors illustrates a form of symbolic tithe. How about that? Secondly, we need to learn and practice the first basic principle of God's economy. And what is that? Tithing. That's right, tithing. Jesus clearly indicates that the beginning of wisdom in working God's economy to the fullest advantage is learning His rules and following them diligently. This begins when we acknowledge true trust in God, expressed in obedience to the Malachi chapter 3 command to give the Lord what belongs to Him first, the tithe. The word tithe means tenth. Jesus reaffirms the tithe in the Gospels. Beyond this, Jesus instructs us that putting God's ways for finances in action and putting God's ways first in our finances, this ensures that we are building our lives on eternal values while living in this temporal world, rather than building our lives on ever-shifting and transient values of human culture. And thirdly, you can serve God and become a resource for others. Praise God. The ultimate intent of God is found in His leading and equipping us in our lives to become giving resources for others. As we learn to give and to steward with little, then more is given us, so that our lives and hearts expand generously in accordance. The end of the parable presents an ultimatum asking us, all right, so who will you serve, God or Mammon? This punchline underscores the essential spiritual nature of money itself and identifies the distinct economic systems that exist from which we must choose. What am I saying here? Just to put it in a nutshell. Dear ones, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? All right. Then God desires for us, you and me, to be generous givers. He wants us to prosper. Oh, yes, so that we might manage our abundance shrewdly and thus distribute more widely and generously all that He desires to give us. Our willingness to grow and to take over large areas of dominion in participation with His kingdom is evidence of our spiritual growth and maturity. Jesus also calls us into a relationship to himself, the King, whom Revelation 5 verse 12 describes as holding all the riches. As his church, we are called the bride of Christ, and as his bride, we are also called into our relationship with him as joint heirs, and called into stewardship for him with our wealth. Further, the world system is called mammon, and according to Jesus' words, has a very personal and forceful influence in our lives that we must reject in favor of this stewardship role with Father God. When we make this choice, our own hearts and our lives will enlarge to include all of God's increases. God wants you blessed. God wants you prosperous. God wants to give you and me abundance to propagate the gospel and grow his kingdom. And then our churches and communities will enlarge as well, and our spiritual impact becomes significant, not just for ourselves, but for others, even unbelievers. Praise God. Let me pray with you right now, and just agree with me in prayer, if you would. If this message has blessed you, let's pray together, and just agree with me in prayer, and let's go to the Lord. I am blessed, Father God. Thank you, because I believe in, I trust in, and rely upon you, placing my hope and confidence in you alone, Father. I delight myself in the Lord, and he gives me the desires and secret petitions of my heart. The Lord withholds no good thing from me because I walk uprightly. Thank you, Lord. I follow your commands and purposes for my life. Heavenly Father, you know what I need even before I ask, and generously supply my every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, as I devote my heart and soul to seeking you, first and foremost, my God, I will prosper in every way, even as my soul prospers. And when I honor you, Father God, with the tithe, with a tenth of my income, you promise to open the floodgates of heaven and pour out an abundance of blessing. And you've done so and continue to do so. Father, it is my heart's desire to sow generously into the kingdom of God so that blessings might come to others. As I do, I reap generously. God will provide and multiply my resources and increase the fruits of my righteousness, kindness, and charity. Praise God. I thank you, Father, for your blessings and favor, knowing that every good and perfect gift comes from you. I am content in my present circumstances and with what I have, and I refuse to allow greed or lust or craving for earthly possessions to control my thoughts. For the love of money is the root of all evil. I trust in you, Father, first and foremost, for you've promised me that you'll not fail me or give me up nor leave me without support. I will not gather or store up for myself treasures on earth, for they will eventually perish. Instead, I will store up for myself treasures in heaven. For where my treasure is, Jesus said, there is my heart also. I strive to do good works and to be generous of heart and ready to share with others at a moment's notice. In this way, I'm laying a firm foundation for the future that I might grasp what is truly life and life indeed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Thank you for listening today, everybody. I pray this was a blessing to you. We talked about some financial things here, but you know what? God cares about our finances. And you know what? Especially right now in the economy we're in right now in the U.S., things are rough. Inflation's out of control. And you know what? We can live above that, though. God wants us to live above that, above the world system. He wants us to thrive and not just survive. So trust in the Lord. Be generous of heart. Be a giver. Be faithful with the tithe and give offerings even above and beyond your tithe. And I'm telling you, God will bless you truly, exceedingly, abundantly above all that you can ask, think, or imagine. Pick up a copy, if you would, of my latest book. It's called The Forgiving Heart. You can find it at Amazon.com or at our website, yourplaceofgrace.com. The Forgiving Heart by Anthony Slusis is in both paperback and Kindle formats. And pastors, listen, I'm scheduling revival services for the new year, 2022. So if you would, please, pastor, go to my website, yourplaceofgrace.com, and check out our messages, check out our interviews, check out our books and resources, and also please do check out our testimonials page, because God is moving in our services. And please do seriously, prayerfully consider scheduling me for revival services in your church. We're seeing Jesus do wonderful things in our services throughout the United States. And we're also going to be going to Africa in the new year. So I'm excited about what God is doing. Thanks for listening once again. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. And may he always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may he give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory, laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, and home. And may he grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Slusis. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.